Well, welcome to Wheatland Baptist Church, and we'll get started. Okay, let's open the word of prayer. Welcome, everybody. Glad to have you. And I think we have an exciting class coming up today, and so looking forward to it. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we just pray this morning that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. Lord, as we study this this topic, very controversial, and Lord, just a lot of opinions going several different directions about the whole matter. And Father, again, I'm asking for wisdom, Lord, that we can rightly divide the word of truth, and Lord, to find out the truth. What did happen at creation time? And Lord, and a lot of people are putting, well, what ifs and everything else, and Lord, we just need to go with what you say in your word. And Lord, just help us to rightly divide the word of truth. Help me to learn along with everybody else. And Lord, it's just a great topic and a much needed topic, I feel, in our day and age. So we pray we'll open our hearts, Lord, for the message we have here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we are in Genesis chapter 3, and we're ready to pick up verse 23. Not going to back up. You're all familiar with the story, and so we're just going to keep plowing ahead here. And so, let's see, Genesis 3, get on the right page. And so let's go ahead and read verses 23 and 24. That will take us to the end of chapter 3. And so who'd be willing to read those for us this morning? Delbert?
Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life.
Okay. Thank you, Delbert. And so we've just talked about Adam and Eve. Now they have sinned, and now they can take of the tree of life and live forever. And God didn't want that. Man has got to be able to die. That's part of God's plan. He doesn't want man to live forever in this physical body. We got to get rid of this physical body. We talked about last Sunday to get rid of the sin nature that we have in us, and that resides in our body, our soul. And our soul was saved when we received Christ as Lord and Savior, but our body didn't get saved. And we talked about that when we went through the book of Romans at length. And anyway, but Paul says, you know, who can deliver me from this body of sin and death? And he's struggling, trying to live the Christian life, and he keeps failing. Things I should do, I don't do. And folks, and the things I should do, those are the things I don't do. And Paul is anguishing in Romans chapter 7. And folks, if Paul fights a battle, it's no surprise that we're fighting battles too, every day with the devil. And he's always tempting us, and sin is tempting. It's exciting. And we just have to try to buffet our bodies and beat it into subjection, as Paul says. So anyway, so we're picking it up here. So now God is driving Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. And so in verse 23, it says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. Then God's loving solution, he says, drive him out. Cast him out of the garden. And basically, it's a very strong word. It means he literally just booted him out. Them out, okay? Both of them, okay? They probably wouldn't have left voluntarily. You know, the Garden of Eden was a nice place, okay? The tree of life is still in the Garden of Eden. By driving them out, they cannot eat the fruit of the tree of life and live forever. And God's ultimate plan is that man should be mortal and capable of death. And we talked about why last week. The verse goes on to say, to till the ground from which he was taken. Okay? He sent them out to cultivate the ground by the sweat of his brow. Adam is to live forever. How Adam was to live for over 900 years. You know, he got to be 900 years old, and those are real years, folks. That's not, you know, them's real years, okay? He's going to live in sorrow, in sickness, in suffering, temptation, living under the curse. He was to live the rest of his life feeling the burden of sin, feeling the weight of the fall, and feeling the curse. And you know, that had to break his heart. And he had, I wonder how many times he looked back and says, oh man, if I'd only listened to God, if I'd only listened, okay? Eve was to live under that whole time bearing children painfully. Women's going to have pain in childbirth. It's one of the curses that God put on Eve for eating of the fruit. And so that basically ends verse 23. And in verse 24, you know, so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. In other words, so they couldn't get to it. You know what? It's not my phone, but mine is not on mute. So I'm just going to take care of some business right quick. Because I will get embarrassed. We're good. All right, got that business taken care of. When it says that he drove them out, it means he expelled them. I mean, he flat drove them out, okay? A very strong word, he booted them out. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim. And a flaming sword which turned every direction to guard the way of the tree of life. So we see the implication here that to make sure they never got back to the tree of life, they were outside the Garden of Beauty and delights. Every day would remind them of what they had lost that they could never regain in this life. It was a constant reminder, okay? And I'm not going to take the time to look it up, but in Revelations 22:2 and verse 14 in Revelation 22, we find the tree of life is in heaven. At that time, we will have access to it. Believers will live for eternity with our Savior, okay? In our new glorified bodies. And I am looking forward to that day with tremendous anticipation as I look at this world situation and the way things are turning. Oh my, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Now, as far as these cherubim, I remember as a little child, when I first heard that story, I thought, man, I wanted to someday go and see those cherubims and that flaming sword. I thought, that is going to be so neat to see that. And man, I vowed then, I'm going to go see that. Okay. Obviously, it's not there anymore. Anybody have any idea when it left? Yeah, it's speculation. A lot of people speculate it probably left when the flood came. But we don't know. The Bible does not say. But it's not there anymore. So I'm not even going to go looking for it. But wouldn't that be a sight to see? Man, that'd be neat, you know. I just said, boy, that'd be so neat. Now, I'm using old terms. Today, the day word is cool. But back then, the word was neat, you know. And so I'm kind of, every now and then, I revert back to my old age, I guess. Okay. Possibly in the flood, we don't know. How kind and loving our great God is to protect us and them from ourselves. God does all kinds of stuff to protect us from ourselves. He did it then. He still does it in the lives of his children today, as most of us can testify. You know, God protects us from ourselves, our own sinful, wicked ways, in many ways. Okay. That closes out chapters 1, 2, and 3. And we're getting ready to shift gears now. Big time. And lightly skimmed the surface of these three chapters, verse by verse. And now we're going to go back and we're going to pick up some topics and we're going to delve into it in more detail. But before we go on, does anybody have any questions or comments about anything that we've covered in these first three chapters? And we got some experts here that would be more than glad to answer your questions. Okay.
Hey,
yes.
I'd just like to say that on these last verses that you've been going over, I think we need to really concentrate on the part of that's God's forgiveness. God forgave each one of us. You know, and
Yep.
Even though he knew we were going to sin.
Mm-hmm.
But he showed us how.
Yep.
That he would give his life and time.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Anybody else? And again, I turned my hearing aids down this morning. For the first three quarters of what you said, I couldn't understand a single word you said. I hope what she said was correct because I'm agreeing with it, okay? So anyway, now I got them cranked up to where I can hear. So anybody else? Okay, we're getting ready to answer several questions here. And basically, we're going to be talking about, to begin with, how long was the day of creation? Okay, and like I said at the beginning of this class, and this will probably still continue on, there's things I'm going to be teaching here that there's probably some in this class will disagree with. And I guess, and if there is some questions or whatever, you're more than free to bring them up. You know, if you're, and I'm asking God, help me rightly divide the word of truth. And I'm doing, trying to follow the Bible as close as I can. I don't want to teach heresy. Although, as I say that, I'm probably going to be teaching some heresy later on in this class, deliberately, okay? And I'll explain that later. But anyway, okay, so first of all, how long was the day of creation? Does the Bible tell us, you know, we're going to be talking about the word day. I'm just going to stop and I'm just going to go back to my notes and I get in trouble when I start shooting from the hip. Okay, we're saying, the Christians are saying that the earth is roughly 6,000 years old. Evolution says it's 13.8 billion years old. All right, now there's quite a discrepancy there in time. I got to turn these back down. Okay, to get an idea of numbers, I'm trying to think, you know, we say 13.8 billion years, and that doesn't mean a thing. You know, I mean, it just goes right over our head. So I decided, how can I kind of break that down and try to make a little bit of sense out of it? So I'm going to take a feeble attempt here at maybe trying to do that. So basically start off with 1,000 times 1,000 is a million. 1,000 times a million is a billion. 1,000 times a billion is a trillion. And 1,000 times a trillion is a quadrillion. All right, so that's basic grade school teaching there. So basically try to put this down and refine it in a way that we can maybe understand a little bit. 1,000 seconds ago, we're saying 6,000 years old the earth was, okay. 1,000 seconds ago was 17 minutes ago. So that's 1,000 seconds, okay? 1,000,000 seconds is 11.5 days ago. That's 1,000,000 seconds. 1,000,000,000 seconds is 31.7 years ago, which would be January of 1992, based on today's time. That's 1,000,000,000 seconds, okay? And 1,000,000,000,000 seconds would be 29,700 BC. That's how many a trillion seconds are. And I kind of bring that up, I throw a little politics in here. We're not supposed to talk about politics. But right now, I just heard that I think our nation is now $33 trillion in debt. Okay? And it's a sum that we can never repay. Our grandkids can never repay it. In fact, right now, as I understand it, our nation right now, as far as paying back, all we can do is pay the interest on it. We can't even touch the principal. And yet our politicians want to keep spending more and more and more and more and more. And I keep thinking, one of these days, folks, somebody's got to pay the piper. The bubble's got to pop. We all know that we've got to balance our budget. We all have to do it, but our government's the only people. Anyway, but a trillion seconds is 29,700 BC. So if we're $33 trillion in debt, you'd have to multiply 33 times 29,700. I mean, just to get an idea of where, these numbers are big, folks. It's big, and we don't understand it. Now, to get back to what we're talking about here more. So, if we say the earth is 6,000 years old, so 6,000 seconds ago would be an hour and 47 minutes ago. So that is 6,000 seconds. If we put in term the years, if we convert that to seconds, that'd be an hour and 47 minutes, or 42 minutes ago. But the evolutionists, they say that the earth is 13.8 billion years ago. 13.8 billion seconds ago would be 437 years ago, or would actually be 1586. Would be the year, okay? So, and what we're comparing are different lengths of time of the earth. We're comparing an hour and 42 minutes to 437 years. And that, hopefully, that gives kind of a brighter picture of what all these humongous numbers mean, and maybe it doesn't, but that's my attempt to try to help out a little bit, but it's astronomical. Okay. Okay, as we shift gears here, we want to answer three main questions as we go through this. Number one, how long was the day of creation? You know, and we're going to try to nail it down biblically. I don't want man's opinion. We got too much man's opinions going on now. But biblically, can we prove that that God created the earth in six 24-hour days? And I say yes, and we're going to do that, all right? Question number two, when did death begin? Now, we've already kind of covered that. We're going to cover that in a little more detail. And now number three, how old is the earth? What does God have to say about it? What's evolution have to say about it? You know, and we're going to flesh this out more. We know the basics, but we're going to dig in a little deeper. So how we answer the first two questions, how long was the day of creation? And number two, when did death begin, is key in determining the answer to the third question, and that is, how old is the earth? So we're going to delve into this. And there's much discrepancy over these questions. All right, a lot of controversy. There's only one correct view, folks. Only one correct view, and that is God's view. You know, and we're going to try to answer these questions biblically, not by man's opinions. It is not a question of how God could have done it. That's what a lot of time people say. Well, God, maybe he could have done it like this, or he could have done it like that. You know, it doesn't matter. That's all speculation. It's what matters is how he says he did it. And he tells us exactly in this book. And we're going to try to get their answer. Does the Bible address these questions specifically? And I say, yes, it does. I'm going to try to prove that now. So what is God trying to tell us? So, question number one, how long was the day of creation? That's question number one. Some people say short time, others say long time. The Hebrew word for day is yom, Y-O-M. That is a Hebrew word for yom, and the word yom can have different meanings. And the people of the old earth people, they cash in on that, all right? Here's a sentence that Ken Ham said, and I use a lot of Ken Ham's material. I use a lot of different people's materials. But Ken Ham said, in my father's day, it took 10 days to drive across the Australian outback while driving during the day. Okay? Now, I have used the word day three different times, and in that sentence, the word day has three different meanings. Yom is the same way. Okay? So, I'm going to repeat that. In my father's day, it took 10 days to drive across the Australian outback while driving during the day. All right? So, to start off with, in my father's day, okay, what is the definition of day under that pretext? My father's day. I guess it's probably, it is a period of time, you know, an indefinite period of time. Okay. The second phrase is, it took 10 days to drive across the Australian outback, okay? Now that day, it took 10 days, it's talking about the 24-hour day. Does that make sense? Okay. And then it ends up while driving during the day. Okay, now the word day, what's the definition of day now?
Daylight,
okay. From sunrise to sunset. And so the word day has got three different meanings, and the word yom is the same thing. All right, and we're going to take a look at that. Turn to Genesis 1:5. Well, rather than have it take the time, you've heard it. Okay, in Genesis 1:5, it says, and it was the, well, I can't even remember. Anyway, it was the first day.
God called the light day and the darkness called night, so the evening and the morning were the first day.
Okay, so there, day means one earth rotation day, evening, you know, to evening. You know, the Jewish day started in the evening, 6 o'clock at night, roughly. Well, it actually started at sunset or dusk, you know, that time. So that would be, but it's talking about a 24-hour day in Genesis 1:5. Now look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. I mean, we're just taking this right out of our Bible, what it says here. Genesis 2, 4, it says, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made earth and the heavens. What's the length of time coming right straight out of, and that's the yom. They both say yom. Genesis 1:5 and Genesis 2:4 both says yom. But how long is the time of day in the yom in verses 2:4? Well, be specific, John.
6 days.
6 days. Okay. 6 days. So in other words, the word yom here means 6 days. So the first time it means 24-hour period of time. Here it means 6 days. Same word, yom. So that's opened up the floodgates for a lot of controversy. Okay. And again, that's why some translators say a first day instead of the first day. Okay, here's an interesting point. The phrase evening and morning followed by the number of the creation day are only found in Genesis 1. And God makes it specific. You have evening and morning, and at the end of evening and morning, you come back to the next evening, that is 1 day, 2 day. Third day, fourth day. God spells it out specifically. All right? Now, can anyone think of a Bible verse that could be taken to mean a long period of time? Long creation days. Is there a verse in the Bible you can think of where it says it could be a day can be a long time? Yes, okay. You're right. You're right, John. Okay. To start off with, let's turn to Psalms 90, verse 4. And I take the time to go through this stuff because, again, I'm trying to educate all of us as to how, you know, where these other people are coming from, you know, that believe in the old earth. And they can come up with some pretty good points. Psalm 90, verse 4. And who'd read that for us? Okay, Jeffrey?
For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night.
Okay. So here it's saying, the people are saying, hey, you know, there it talks about 1,000 years. Could be like a day. Now turn to John's reference in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. And let's read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. And who's found that and can read that for us? Mick?
But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day.
Okay. Now the old earth people point to these verses, say, hey, you know, the word can mean anything. It could be a, here it's talking about a thousand years, you know, in Genesis chapter 2, it's talking about 6 days. You know, one day, 6 days, a thousand years, you know, you could plug anything into that you want to, you know, and so you cannot, you creationists cannot say and point your finger and say it means a 24-hour day. And they cash in on that, this verse, okay? Now, is this verse, is this, these two verses, are they biblically accurate?
Yes.
Yes, exactly. It comes right out of our Bible, okay? It's what God inspired him to write, okay? So we have a dilemma here. All right. Now, they'll say, okay, a day could mean 1,000 years, so it could mean 1,000,000 years, could mean 1,000,000,000 years, so you guys don't have a leg to stand on. All right, well, okay, you're making a good point there. Okay, but they never finish the verse. How does the verse finish? You know, or 1,000 years is a day. Well, they never use that half, just the first half, but the second half says he could have done it in 1 second. You know, I rounded that off. Okay, it could have been God just says, he just said, let it be, and it was so. How long would that have taken God? You know, he could have done it in a second. You know, it'll take 6 seconds instead of 6 days. So you can, you know, you have to play the thing both ways, folks. Now, can you think of any verses that says a 24-hour day is talking about creation days in the same verse? Can anybody think of that?
Exodus 20.
You're right, John. This guy's on top of it, okay? Turn to Exodus chapter 20. John must have been reading his Bible lately, as well as some of you others. And a lot of you guys, you already know where I'm going. So, but anyway.
I wasn't reading it lately. It was a long time ago because I used to be a theistic evolutionist. And I know the difference.
Yeah, John used to be a theistic evolutionist. And a theistic evolutionist is that God did it all, but he used evolution to do it. You know, God did it all, but he used evolution. You know, and that's a common feeling. So, okay. Exodus chapter 20, and let's go ahead and read verses 9-11. And who'd read that? Have you got it, John? I saw a hand back here. Okay, Pastor?
Again, it was verse 9.
9 through 11.
6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Okay. Now, before we discuss that further, just go ahead and turn over now. All right. Now in verse 11 that we just read there says, and all that in them is. In other words, is what that says. God is saying In 6 days I created it, and all that in them is there. I did not do anything before that. Nothing beforehand. And we're going to see that some more here. So, in 6 days, there was no gap, according to this. And then when you come to the seventh day, there was no gap there. God does not show give any indication whatsoever that there was any gap in time from the day that he started creating. And which eliminates all this baloney about all this stuff. We're going to talk about that too here in a little bit. All right, let's go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 31. And we're going to see the same thing. God's got it in here twice. And then we're going to talk about this. Exodus 31. And who'd read verses 15 through 17? Delbert?
Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.
Okay, thank you, Delbert. Now, as we're looking at these verses, we need to say, okay, what is God saying here? What is he trying to tell us, okay? Now, Moses wrote these verses just as well as he wrote the verses on the creation day in Genesis, okay? Moses wrote them both. Now, if you want to plug this thousand-year thing in that the long earth people say, is God telling them to work for 6,000 years and then rest for 1,000 or eat for rest for 1,000? Is that what God's saying here? No, it doesn't make sense. You can't just throw these verses in anywhere you want to fit your whims. You cannot do it, okay? What is God trying to say? God deliberately took as long as 6 days to create everything. He set the example for man. Our week is patterned after this principle. He's saying, this is a pattern. You're to follow this. And we follow it to this day. Okay? God says he made everything in those 6 literal days and nothing before the first day. Period. Don't put a question mark where God puts a period. Okay? Earth was created. Here it says it's created. I've skipped some stuff here. Okay. Well, I'm just going to go back. I skipped over some stuff that I need to include here. Okay, the Bible tells us that Jonah was in the fish for 3 days. Does that mean, now can we interpret that to say that Jonah was in the fish for 3,000 years? No, it doesn't make sense. Okay? If you plug 3,000 years for a day in wherever you want to, then Jesus Christ is still in the grave. Folks, there's been no resurrection. He's got another 1,000 years to stay in the grave. It doesn't work. And in Exodus chapter 31, we just read that, you cannot gather manna for 1,000 years and then rest for 1,000 years. You're supposed to gather enough for one day. Folks, it doesn't work. It doesn't fit. Okay? And God says, in 6 days, I created the heavens and the earth, and you're supposed to follow that as a pattern in your lives. Your 6 days you're supposed to work, and you rest on the seventh day. He's not telling them to work for 6,000 years and then rest for 1,000. Okay? And can you make it any plainer that God's talking about a 24-hour day? He's got them both. It's all right here in these two verses. Okay, any questions or comments? Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I've entered into a discussion with some people that, okay, it's completely out of context, but let me give you the thousand years for a day. And I'll even throw in day seven. You're saying it's 7,000 years, and that's short of a million by about a million? So, just another...
Sure.
Just another argument, you might say, as a defender, or no, how is it? Apologetics comment here.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
We don't want to argue, we want to...
No, we just debate, is that what we do? What do we do?
Discuss.
Discuss, okay.
Lively discussions.
Okay.
And then argue.
Okay. And then he get mad and beat the guy up,
yeah,
you know.
That's a progression.
Okay. John.
He mentioned 2 Peter as being out of context. The context there is how merciful God is.
Yeah.
You read about it, and then it's like God is so merciful, he'll wait 1,000 years to give us a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Read the context, and you can see that what it's talking about.
Yep.
Long suffering.
Yep. Yeah. Aren't you thankful for the long suffering of God?
Amen.
Where would we be without it? Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Okay, so God deliberately, I got to go back now. I skipped over some. Okay, we're back to where we were. God deliberately took as long as 6 days to create everything. He set the example for man. Our week pattern is patterned after this principle. God is talking about 24-hour days to create the earth. That's where I stand. And now, the majority of people are against that thinking, you know. So anyway, and we can either take God's word for it or man's word for it. And we have a choice. We have a choice. And God, and day is defined by evening and morning by God. That's how he defined it. One earth rotation day, 24 hours. Folks are supposed to read these scriptures and allow them to speak in context as the language requires for communication. And I'm glad that Christ rose from the dead. We don't have to wait for another 1,000 years for the resurrection. So, anyway. In every instance where somebody has not accepted the days of creation as ordinary 24-hour days, it is because they have been influenced by ideas from outside of Scripture. Is there anywhere in this book that God mentions the fact that, gaps of time, or have I missed something? Okay. Many believe the history of millions of years began with Darwin, but that view has already began even before Darwin, okay? And people believe the Bible's account of creation for creation up until about 1779. And at that point, there was a scientist named, Comte de Buffon, okay? I'm going to spell it. C-O-M-T-E-D-E. B-U-F-F-O-N. And he first came up with the idea, or he's the first known person that actually wrote a book about it that caught on, I'll put it like that. He came up with the idea of an old earth, and he published his book entitled Epochs of Nature, stating his theories. And that was in 1779. And that's basically about the time this whole thing started. He was kind of the springboard for it all. There might have been some other unknowns that might have had a theory, but that's what he's given the credit for. It. So this thinking of an old earth actually began in 1779. Before that, everybody believed in creation, 6 days. Yes, sir?
Is his name Buffoon?
Well, you know it, B-U-F-F-O-N? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Buffoon, yeah. All right, good point, good point. Okay, now, after that, others began writing books stating their theories of an old earth, and the theory caught on and continues on to this day, and it is a flourishing view. And the reason I'm taking time to go through this is you're going to run into that. If you're talking to somebody, you're going to run into it, and we're getting ready. I'm gonna, our time's gone. Pastor, can you fix this? Oh my, I'm gonna shoot that clock. Okay, all right, okay. Because people are trying to reconcile their beliefs of billions of years into the biblical account of creation. And again, just food for thought. If the plants created on day three were separated by millions of years from the birds created on day five, and the insects created on day six for their pollination, then such plants could not have survived. It has to be six 24-hour days, folks. It has to be. Okay, because almost everything would have died. Because they depend on the birds and insects to cross-pollinate them. And they weren't created till, I guess, millions of years after, I guess, whatever. Okay. All right, folks, we're a minute overdue. Any fast questions or comments before we close? I keep horning in on pastor's time. Okay, let's go ahead and close the word of prayer. Thank you guys for coming. I'm enjoying this. All right, next Sunday, I'm going to delve in. I'm going to teach heresy next Sunday deliberately. I'm going to go through now and explain the theory and all the reasoning that goes behind the gap between verses 1 and 2. And then we're going to disprove it by the Bible. All right. But I want you to, the reason I'm doing this is because a lot of times I've heard the saying, you know, if you like the Chinese with dollar bills, you never let them play with counterfeit money because always the original self, so it's easier to recognize it. Well, that's true to a point. But, you know, a lot of times we need to study what the opposition says so we know how to refute it. And I'm taking up. Okay, let's close in prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for this lesson. Thank you for the discussion we've had this morning. Lord, I pray that we will learn to take your word for what it says, and we don't have to speculate about, well, maybe it could have been this way, that way, you know. And man's thinking gets involved, and the devil's behind it all. And he's very successful. Been very successful, Lord. Help us, Lord, to teach the truth in this church. Just pray that you'll be the pastor now as he brings a morning message and speak to us through that and open our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.